You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Thursday, February 4th, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com, and this is a daily podcast covering the New York Jets. We have new episodes 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, through most of the year. If you've just joined our show, welcome, and if you like what you hear, subscribe. You can do that where podcasts are found. We will deliver new episodes to your device each morning. And also leave the show a good review. That helps us out. On today's show, we are going to do our rookie review for Jets rookies in the year 2020. Something we do every offseason is take a look at how rookies performed, and more importantly, look to the future. Try and figure out what each player needs to do in 2021 for success. And I always say that you don't take a rookie for year one. I feel that with the exception of your first round pick and maybe your second round pick, anything you get from a rookie is a bonus. And even if you don't get big contributions from your first or second round pick, that's not the end of the world. I think that one of the mistakes people make when they look to the draft is they always focus on the immediate. And that's true when they look at players they think their team should take. They're always looking at the position where their team is the weakest. Well, the draft is really about long-term gains. You're looking to find players who are going to be contributors for the next 4 years on cheap contracts, players who are going to be giving your team a bargain relative to their salary. And you're also looking for players who are going to be with your team 8 to 10 years. You don't want to necessarily strengthen the weakest position on your team, although that certainly is something that helps you out, but that's not something you necessarily are going to be able to accomplish through the draft. What you're looking to do is find a player who's so good that for the next 8 to 10 years, the position that guy plays is not going to be weak. For many players in the NFL, the biggest improvement you make is between year one and year two, because there's just so much difference between the college game and the pro game, whether you're talking about the quality of competition, whether you're talking about figuring out what you need to do off the field to get yourself ready, to get yourself into top shape, whether you're talking about figuring out more complex playbooks. There's a lot that gets thrown at you as a rookie. And, you know, it's a big difference between being a college player and being a pro player from the standpoint that when you're in the pros, this is work. It's your job to an extent that's not necessarily the case at lower levels. So sometimes I think players come in and people have expectations that are too high for them year one, when the focus really should be on year two and beyond. So with all of that in mind, let's get started. The Jets selected 9 players in the 2020 NFL draft, and we'll talk about the season each of these guys had and what expectations should be going forward. And we will begin with Mekhi Becton, who of course was the 11th overall pick in the 2020 NFL draft. And I have to say, I think maybe some of us, and I have to include myself, maybe some of us got a little carried away about how well Becton played, because there were some games that were rough, and there were some moments that were not great, especially as we got later into the season. And Becton did have to battle some injuries, so, you know, we don't know how durable. You really want an offensive lineman to be durable, because it's a tough spot to play, so I think that is a minor concern with him going forward. That said, I would call Becton's rookie season a success. And this goes back to what I just said. I was not expecting Mekhi Becton, even in spite of the high ceiling everybody thinks Becton has, I was not expecting him to go out there and be a Hall of Fame left tackle on day one. I was expecting him to be a guy who would flash dominance at times and have growing pains at others. I thought that there were more flashes of dominance than I was expecting, and the growing pains were fewer. I think he looked like a guy who belonged out there, and a guy who is still very much learning. I think of the 4 big tackles last year who were drafted in the first round, Becton was the guy who seemed like he had the furthest to go, and you know, that may not have actually been the case. That was the, but that was the prognostication at the time. And what he turned into was a guy who was able to play credible football at the very least at the left tackle position for the whole year. Really, from day one, he was able to step in and be a competent, if not better, starter. So I'm pleased with what I saw from Becton. Gave the Jets quality run blocking many weeks. Did not struggle as much. Was not as raw as I was fearing as a pass protector. And I think next year the expectation is I want to see a guy who plays at an impact level. I want to see a Pro Bowl tackle. And I think sometimes when I do these rookie review shows each year, I put too much pressure on the first round pick because it's a tough thing to ask a player. But the fact of the matter is the Jets need impact players. Jets are not going to go anywhere unless they have, it's not just the quarterback. You need the quarterback, but you also need impact players. You need guys who are going to play at a high level and guys who are going to play at a high level at premium positions, which is what Becton plays. So I think he's got to be a Pro Bowl level performer next year for me to call it a success. And maybe that's not fair. Maybe my expectations are too high, but I have different hopes for players year two than I do year one. And a guy with Becton's talent, the reason the Jets drafted him, Jets did not draft him just to be another offensive tackle. The Jets drafted him, and him in particular, because of his high ceiling. So maybe it's unfair for me to say he needs to reach that high ceiling, but that's my general thought right now. Next up, we have Denzel Mims, who, let's be honest, most of us thought was a steal late in the second round. The Jets just did not wait until the second round to get him. They actually traded down and were able to get him near the end of round two. And for the first 2 months or so of the season, it looked like it was going to be like one of those lost rookie years because Mims could not get on the field due to hamstring injuries. Suffered a hamstring injury relatively early in training camp. Was about to come back. Suffered more hamstring injuries right before the start of the regular season. And a lot of people were very frustrated with him. And I said at the time, I thought that that was very unfair because hamstring issues were a chronic problem for the Jets this year in training camp. And that suggested maybe it was an issue with the training methods. Maybe it was an issue with strength and conditioning. I don't think it was Mims. I don't think you can blame a guy for a hamstring injury to begin with. But I certainly don't think you could blame Mims when you consider the chronic nature of these injuries. Mims came back. He eventually played in 9 games. And he had 23 catches for 357 yards. So that does not look spectacular, but I did a quick overview last year. I wrote an article on gangrenenation.com about rookie receivers. And this goes back to what I said earlier, is that I think sometimes expectations are just too high. And based on history, I put the number I was hoping Mims to hit at around, I don't know, like 700 yards or so. I felt like that was kind of a good measure for whether or not his rookie year was successful. Now you have to reduce that because he did not play in 16 games. So if you look at Mims' average for the year, he had 39.7 yards per game, so about 40 yards per game. And if you average that out over 16 games, which it was dangerous to do because you can never assume a player is going to maintain an average, but that's the best thing. That's really the best option we have in front of us. That gives you about 635 yards. So more or less, he kind of hit what I was hoping for, maybe a little bit lower. And that also comes when he had a really pretty cold month of December. In fact, his final 3 games, he had 3 catches for 18 yards against the Raiders. It was shut out against the Browns on 2 targets, and then 1 catch for 15 yards against New England. And there are other factors here. You know, quarterback play obviously was not great for the Jets this year. But beyond that, it really felt like there were games where at halftime, for whatever reason, they just went away from him. They just took him out of the game plan. And if you ever listened to Adam Gase try and articulate one of his game plans, there were always things that just made no sense. Now, he never articulated any concept of taking Mims out of the game plan, but the Jets did such weird things with their game plans this year that I could not rule. It would not have shocked me to hear that. Now, Mims is a guy who requires some work on his game. I mean, I think he's still learning how to play. That's one of the things that encourages me, the fact he looked like a competent pro even while he still has some aspects that really need to be worked out in this game, whether you're talking releases off the line, whether you're talking route running. There's just certain fundamentals of his game that need work on them, and he still went out there and produced. And I think one of the big debates has become, is Mims the kind of guy you can run your offense through? I hate to use the term true number one receiver, because I feel like that's overused and kind of vague, but is he the type of guy who could be your go-to guy, or is he more of a supporting player, like a high-end supporting player? Though I'm not talking just any number two, like a guy who's like a high-end complementary part. And to me, the question as far as grading Mims is almost irrelevant, because I feel like if Mims can become one of those top sidekicks, he's well worth a pick late in the second round. So for year two, that's what I want. First of all, I'm hoping he can stay healthy, and some of this is beyond his control, but I'm hoping he not only stays healthy, but I'm hoping throughout the year you see him improve his route running, his releases off the line. And I'm hoping he looks like a guy who is a legitimate starter. I don't think he necessarily needs to be, a 1,500-yard receiver. I think he's a guy I'm looking forward to be, somebody consistently in maybe the 800 to 900-yard range, be a guy who can go out, win balls in the air, and in a good year maybe get 1,000, 1,100, 1,200 yards. If he does better than that, which I think he could conceivably, that's great, but I don't think that's something that necessarily needs to happen for him. I think my expectations for him are just be Jets. In addition to impact players, Jets also need guys who are above average starters, and that's what I'm hoping for from Mims. Chain stores have different price tiers for professionals and do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. RockAuto.com's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Thursday, and we are doing our Jets rookie review today. Rounds 3 and 4 saw the Jets take 5 combined players. The first of them was Ashton Davis. And I felt like when Davis was drafted, he was really selected to be a backup for year 1, maybe play some special teams, and then take over as a starter year 2. And you have to remember that back when Davis was drafted, Jamal Adams was still a member of the Jets. There was a theory that Davis was drafted to replace Marcus May. Ultimately, Davis did kind of step into a starting role before suffering a season-ending injury, in part because Bradley McDougald got hurt. The Jets, of course, traded Adams to Seattle, and McDougald was part of the package that returned. And Davis's rookie year was up and down. I think there were more downs than ups, but there were some good moments, especially against the Raiders, which proved to be his last game of the year. Against Darren Waller, he was really the only Jets defender who had any success. The fact the Jets made an adjustment and put Davis against Waller in that game, and for a stretch actually kind of shut him down. So there were some good moments. I think there were some bad moments. Week 1, you go back to the Buffalo game that began the Jets season. The Davis had one of the most memorable plays where he tried to hurdle a guy on the kickoff return and got tackled, and Jets ended up stuck in deep in their own end. It was a really bad return, but there certainly were moments where I think Davis played a little bit out of control. But this was not a finished product, and I go back to what I said earlier. Once you get to round 3, you'd be surprised how few contributors come as rookies from round 3. So, I don't want to dwell too much on what happened on the field for Davis this year. I think going forward, for this next season to be successful for him, you need him to step into one of these starting safety roles, because McDougald and May are both free agents. Both of your starters are free agents heading into this offseason. So I think it's pretty clear for Davis. The Jets need a competent starter at safety. They don't need Davis to be Jamal Adams. They just need him to be a steady starter at safety, whichever safety role they give to him. Next up is Jabari Zuniga, who was not a popular pick, and I got to be honest with you, this was not a pick I loved at the time the Jets made it. Now, I think some of the reasoning people hated the pick was unfair because they are kind of holding Zuniga accountable for the sins of Ja'Kai Polite. Polite was another Florida edge rusher the Jets drafted in the third round the year before that in 2019 and failed to make the team out of training camp. So I think some people may have looked at this as third round Florida edge rusher. This is going to be a disaster. That wasn't fair. But I think that Zuniga is a guy who has the tools. I mean, he's got the athletic ability to be a competent edge rusher in the league, but really was about as raw as a prospect could be and did not bring a whole lot to the table this year, if we're going to be honest. First of all, he missed a bunch of games due to injury. He ended up with 5 tackles on the season, no sacks, no tackles for a loss, no quarterback hits. So really, he didn't give anything this year. And again, third-round rookie, you got to cut him some slack. That said, you know, it was not a great year for Zuniga. And for me, the whole pick comes down to, can Zuniga be a situational pass rusher? If he's more than that, great. But I think that ultimately, Jets looking at his athletic tools and hoping that he can put it together. And again, like, everything needs work. He needs to learn how to do a counter move. He's got to learn. He's pretty much just entirely a project. He's a guy who you're hoping you can develop into something, but you can't be too confident in him. Next, we'll talk about LaMichael Perine, who was actually Zuniga's college teammate. He was the first of 3 players the Jets drafted in the 4th round. I think that there's a perception Perine's really promising, and I don't know that I agree with it. I thought that this was not a great pick at the time the Jets made it. I just don't see any wow factor in Perine's game. There's nothing that really sets him apart from any other back. I mean, there's not a ton of explosiveness. He's not a guy who is great at running through defenders, running through arm tackles. He's got decent hands, but I wouldn't call him a dynamic receiver. And for the season, he had 64 rushes for 232 yards. And Perine during the year was a guy a lot of people wanted to see more playing time because the Jets decided to run their offense through a 37-year-old running back in Frank Gore, which was a mistake, and Perine was younger. And I understood the sentiment, but here's the problem with Perine is late in the season you had 2 fairly young backs who outperformed him in Ty Johnson and Josh Adams in the limited time they saw, and that goes back to my main point is that I don't know what Perine brings to the table above any other back. I think the drafting of Perine signals a shift within the Jets organization that the days of putting a ton of value on the running back position are over. You're not going to see, I doubt you'll see many Le'Veon Bell signings or even like Isaiah Crowell signings under Joe Douglas. I think it's going to be a position where the Jets are going to go cheap. Jets are not going to invest premium resources. So I think Perine is part of that mix. And I think, you know, ultimately, you know, I think that the idea for Perine was for him to be part of like a tandem or like a trio in the backfield, part of like a backfield platoon where you have a bunch of different guys getting snaps. The problem is I can't figure out which part of that platoon he'd fit because, again, I don't think he's a great power back. I don't think he's a great speed back. I guess he's got decent hands, but again, I don't think he's like a dynamic route runner by any stretch of the imagination. So I don't know, you know, usually if you have like a platoon in the backfield, you have guys who are specialists at one thing or another, or guys who are really good at something. I don't know what he's good at, but I guess ultimately if he does a good job and averages, I don't know, like 4.3 yards per carry in the platoon, that would be success. I think any lower would not be worth it. Next guy we'll talk about is Cameron Clark, who was picked, actually, we should talk about James Morgan, because Morgan was picked before Cameron Clark. Morgan was picked 125. Cameron Clark was picked 129. And Morgan, you knew this was going to be a redshirt year. This was a major project the Jets drafted at the quarterback position. And if you've listened to this podcast, you know that I'm a major Morgan skeptic. You know, I looked at the history of late-round picks who succeed at quarterback, and it's never the guy with the rocket arm who doesn't know how to read defenses. It's tough to teach a guy to read defenses once he's in the NFL. It's more the less talented guy who gets overlooked because maybe they don't have the big arm, but who understands route concepts and coverages. So I don't know how much I buy into Morgan. I don't have an issue. Like, I can't believe people got upset with the Jets draft for drafting a backup quarterback in the fourth round. Nothing wrong with drafting a backup quarterback in the fourth round. I don't think there's anything wrong with drafting a backup quarterback earlier than that. Backup quarterback could end up being one of the most important people on your team. And I don't understand why teams take such a cheap route to filling the backup quarterback spot. My issue was just more with the player the Jets took, because I just don't know how much upside there really is with this player. So, but I think that this one's pretty clear. The Jets were not expecting, he was such a project, the Jets were not expecting him to see the field at all in 2020. That's why they signed Joe Flacco. I think going forward, there's no other way to put it. It's not a success if Morgan cannot be the backup quarterback this year and do a competent job when called upon. I think it's that clear. If not, then it's a failed year. And now we'll get to Cameron Clark, who was the third of three fourth-round picks the Jets made last offseason, and he really did not see the field much at all. And the Jets had some injuries on the offensive line, so you would have thought that there would be some opportunities, and Clark was not competing against guys who were particularly capable backups for playing time, and he just could not get on the field. And, that's a frequent mailbag question I get in our weekly shows is, should you be worried that Cameron Clark was not able to get on the field? And I think ultimately the answer is, yeah, it's a yes and a no. I would say no from the standpoint that he's a fourth round pick. Again, you don't expect fourth round rookies to do anything for you. So I don't think it's necessarily a huge red flag that he was unable to get on the field, despite the lack of depth the Jets had on the offensive line. Even then, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think the bigger issue is just he's a fourth round pick. So in the fourth round, the odds of hitting on this player are low, and this is a decent, there's a decent chance that his inability to impress the coaches enough to put him on the field is just a sign that it's never going to happen for him. So it's tough to say right now, but I don't think you could say this was a good rookie year for Cameron Clark. I think it was a developmental year. And I think for him, success is turning into a depth player. I don't think in a fourth round for an interior offensive lineman, you necessarily need a starter. I just think you need a competent backup. Super Bowl Sunday is just a few days away, and there's only one place that has you covered, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. It's the Chiefs and the Bucks this Sunday from Tampa. You don't need to sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code. It's locked on, one word with no space, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. When it comes to getting into or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity is, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. And unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everybody. One membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/lockedon. That's echelonfit.com/lockedon. Locked On Jets podcast, doing our rookie review for 2020 today. In the fifth round, the Jets picked Bryce Hall, a corner out of Virginia. And many people, including myself, really liked the pick. Hall was a player who some pundits had as a day two pick, and it seemed like he fell mainly because he suffered an injury at the end of his college career, and teams were not able to bring him into their facility to get a look at his medicals. Jets got him in the fifth round, and he had to miss the first half of the year. He only played in 8 games. In fact, it kind of seemed like it was going to be a redshirt year for him, so just the fact that Jets were able to get him on the field for 8 games was kind of a plus, and he eventually was pressed into starting duty because of injuries and ineffectiveness to various corners. The Jets actually had to cut the guy who was their number one corner at the start of the year, Pierre Desir, due to ineffectiveness. Hall stepped into the lineup, and as you would expect for a rookie who did not have a training camp coming off a serious injury, there were ups and downs. I mean, there were some really bad games in there, including the game against the Raiders. But there were some good moments. I mean, there were some games where even when he allowed completions, he was in good coverage. It was just a perfectly timed throw and catch, maybe taking advantage of a rookie a little bit. But I think in context, this was a pretty solid year for Hall. I think when you're talking a fifth-round rookie who in many games looked like he belonged on the field, I think that was a big plus. You know, what are expectations going forward? Well, I think for the it's interesting because I think for a fifth-round pick, if you get a quality backup, that would be okay. In fact, in some ways, you kind of think back to Bless Austin, who was in a similar spot a year ago. The Jets picked him in the late rounds out of Rutgers, and he kind of played surprisingly well near the end of his rookie year at a point where you were not expecting him to get on the field. And Austin, you could see, was kind of limited even at the time in 2019 as a rookie. You could see that he was a guy who really could only play zone. And I wonder whether that's the situation Hall's in as well. And I think for a backup, what you're looking is you're looking for something they could do well. You know, you're just looking for one area where you can focus on them playing because you know they're not going to have a complete game. I think if Hall just, you know, plays at the level of a backup and gives the Jets depth, that would be great. I do think he's got starting potential, though. I think he is a guy who could potentially, and I think the Jets need somebody to come out of nowhere to lock down a starting job at corner because they have so little there right now. So I think, you know, I'm hoping for a starter, but I think if he's a quality depth player, that would be enough, at least for me. And we'll see what happens going forward. I think that he's going to be on this team in some capacity. I think he will play a role on this team, whether that's as an impact starter or whether it's just more as a role player. I would expect Bryce Hall to have some sort of positive impact going forward on the Jets, though. And then finally, Braden Mann, who the Jets was a punter the Jets drafted in the sixth round. Like James Morgan, a lot of people got upset with this pick, which I did not really understand, to be honest with you. I think a punter in the sixth round, especially when you have nine picks, is a perfectly acceptable use of a pick. It was not a great rookie season for Mann. I don't think you can say it was a particularly promising rookie year for him. In fact, you know, if you look through the stats, 28th in the league in average, 27th in net punting, so not very good. The one thing that gives me a little bit of hope is that if you remember Lachlan Edwards, who was the previous Jets punter, he was another guy the Jets drafted in the late rounds. He ended up being really solid, and he was not very good as a rookie. Now, why would a rookie not be able to come in and punt right away when the job is so similar to what you did in college? This is not a wide receiver going up against faster, stronger corners. You know, it's not, I mean, to the extent a position is the exact same as what you did in college, punter probably tops the list. I have no idea what the adjustment level could be. I have no idea what's responsible for that, but I'm willing to give him one more year to see whether he can work it out. Now, if he doesn't improve, I think the Jets are going to have to move on after this year, but I'm willing to give him one more year. But he's got to do better than this. He's got to turn into at least a middle-of-the-pack punter. If he's 28th and 27th in punting and net punting again next year, Jets are going to be looking for a new punter this offseason. That's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy this show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Hope you have a great Thursday, everybody. We'll be back again tomorrow to end our week.